Welcome to Elementary. I hope you're having a fabulous Monday wherever you are. I am glad to be back, and I'm so excited to interview this guest today, and I hope you are too. If you are busy, and you don't get to join us, you can always catch the replay, but I hope you will make some time because the show is going to be jam-packed, full of exciting stuff. Hello!
Hi!
How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm
can you
good.
Hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you well. So thank you so
excellent,
much.
Excellent.
I am so excited for the show today, and I can see everybody just joining, so it's cool. I'll monitor the comment section as well to make sure we can get all the comments that come in. And for all
Absolutely.
Of you watching, you know, there's a question icon down below or in the comment section. Drop your questions. And if you don't get to it today, because I have so many questions for to ask you today, and I'm sure everyone is going to be eager as well.
So
we'll get started.
Okay, go.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
So introduce yourself and your Instagram handle. Hold on, we're having some technical difficulties. I think you're frozen, so you may have to reconnect. Sometimes we have technical difficulties. And
yeah,
like
I don't know why
else.
It booted me out. It booted me out. Okay, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, all right, excellent. Okay, good. Where would we be without our technology, right?
Yes, of course. And you know, like they say, you know, we'll just improvise. It happens, you know, sometimes it just happens. So
yeah,
there's not much you can do about it. You just have to go on. So tell us a little bit, introduce yourself. Let's start with introducing yourself and your Instagram handle.
Elementary. My name is Manny Najafi. I'm a mortgage agent level 2 with North Power Mortgages Inc. here in Toronto. Obviously, I have clients all over Canada, but my primary focus is Toronto and Ontario. That's where usually most of my clients are. I've been in mortgages for the last 3 years. However, my background is finance, so I've always been around mortgages for a long time. I started back with RBC in 2004. Actually, February will be 20 years that I've been in finance, and that experience with the bank, growing up in the banking system and doing everything from being a teller all the way up to a mortgage assistant and a financial planner, has given me a wealth of knowledge in the regular banking system to be able to help a lot of the clients that are not only thinking about their mortgage, but their overall financing needs and how that fits into their overall goals. So my specialty, I would say, is a lot of handholding with first-time home buyers. They tend to have a lot more questions, not only particularly about mortgages and how it works, but how it fits in their overall goals over the next 3 to 4, maybe 5 or 10 years, however much they have planned. So usually my conversations start off with, okay, what do you need? You know, what do you have so far and where do you want to go? So that usually tells me a lot, quite a bit. So that's my background. Again, last few years, primary focus has been building my relationships within the mortgage industry.
Awesome. Someone said, where does Manny get his good looks from?
I think from most people, I got it from my mama.
That's a good question. Maybe it's your mom asking, who knows?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's funny. Or maybe it's your dad asking, not sure. He won't be too happy about that. That's funny. So
Let's get into this nitty-gritty. Give us maybe some insights, some latest trends, changes in the mortgage market. What are you seeing? And that potential first-time home buyer, not just first-time home buyers, that home buyers should be aware of.
Okay. So the first thing home buyers should be really aware of is don't listen to everybody's advice all at once online, right? A lot of people are putting out material and they're good material, but they're not always necessarily for you. So when you hear it, it might conflict with what's been told to you specifically for you. So the first thing is do your own research, but seek help that's specific for you. Don't be Dr. Google online. There's a lot of information, but a lot of it may not pertain to you. So the first thing is make sure you're getting the right advice from the right people. You're talking to a licensed professional, especially in mortgages. There's a lot of people that talk about mortgages, but they may not necessarily have all the tools or the experience to be able to help you where you want to go. Number two, take the time to specifically look at their advice and how it fits into your life goals and be open and honest, right? I expect my clients to tell me everything about their life and let me deal with the different situations. Don't hide anything thinking that it's going to impact you negatively, because if it comes up down the line, it's going to have a bigger impact than what you think. So always be honest and forthright, and especially with yourself. You know, if you know you can't afford a certain house, and people have told you, don't push yourself for that house, right? Maybe change your mind. And the third thing that I would say is be flexible, especially for first-time home buyers. The first home that you're looking at, especially with the budgets and the pricing within Toronto or certain areas, may not be necessarily what you desired or what you thought about at first. But be flexible, be open and honest, and be like, listen, I can't afford the certain house that I wanted for my first home, but maybe I can start off with a starter home and then work my way up to my dream home, right? The starter home concept has really quite changed over the last few years. It's not necessarily the home that you're going to maybe raise your family or grow up, grow into. It might be just get your foot in the door, get a house, get a property, live there, maybe do some rentals or do whatever, and then step up to the next house that might be your dream house. So have a little bit of flexibility. And in terms of market trends, I'm sure you've heard that last week, CPI or inflation numbers came out. They weren't necessarily down. It was up a little bit compared to the month before, but we're looking at it year over year, it's okay. Bank of Canada wants it to be somewhere around 2%. We were at 3.4. It went up a little bit higher. What that means is that most people saying first quarter rate drop most likely is out of the question. Bank of Canada, they raise rates really fast, but they bring it down a lot slower. And with this inflation being a little bit stickier, they're going to be a little bit more cognizant on, pulling any kind of rate cuts. So right now, we're not looking at any kind of rate cuts until probably June, July, possibly even going into Q3 before we see any cuts. So don't wait and, wait to see what happens in the market. Do what you have to do now. If you're buying a house, look at it right now. Because if rates do drop, what you are hearing in the market is it could be quite correct, where if rates drop, all those people that are waiting on the sidelines with their pre-qualifications ready to go, they'll jump in the line ahead of you. So sometimes always waiting, it may not be the right answer, but talk to someone like myself about your mortgage and about your needs and figure out what's the best course of action for me, not what the market's going to do, not what Bank of Canada is going to do to dictate my life. If I need a house, if I need to move, there are options out there. Don't just wait and see what happens.
Yes. There are deals to be had. Before we move on, I see an individual wanting to join the live, and I'm not sure, Mr. Fraser, Paul Fraser, if you're looking to join or you have a question. So the comment section, drop the question. If you're looking to join, connect with us later. We can definitely, have a chat with you and figure out what you do and if you want to get on the show at some point. But today you won't be joining us. Today it's all about...
If you said Paul Fraser, time. I know Paul. What's up, Paul? Yeah, he's a colleague of ours. He works in the brokerage. Okay. Thanks for joining.
I think he wants to join the live. I'm not sure. So I wasn't sure if it was your colleague or if it was someone else.
No, he just... Yeah. So go ahead. I'm ready for your next question.
Yeah. So I mean, with trends, you're absolutely correct when you say, don't wait on the sidelines, you know, make whatever decision you have to make based on your story.
Yeah.
I mean, there are deals to be had right now. And I think, you know, if you can take advantage, it's great, you know, for you to, you know, take advantage, right?
Yeah. And later in the show, I have some specific actual examples about how actually waiting could cost you a lot more than what you actually think. You might wait. So I'll give you an example. Perfect scenario. You have a $1 million house right now. You need only an $800,000 mortgage. You have to put down 20%, of course, which is $200,000. Mm-hmm. Your payments are going to be somewhere like $4,654. Same property. If you wait till rates come down, let's say we're at 5.79 for a 3-year fixed. We go down to 4.79 for a 3-year fixed in 6 months or 1 year, right? Same property has gone up from 1 million to 1.25, right? So now you have to put down $50,000 more in down payment, but your payments are only going to be different by about $388 a month, right? So for $388 a month, you waited, and now you have to dish out higher land transfer tax. Your monthly savings aren't all that great. You're paying a higher taxes now because it's at 10.5% now for a more expensive property. Same one, but it just got more expensive because rates are lower. Mm-hmm. And then you would have also lost all that time where that extra bit of money in equity would have been in your pocket rather than the seller's pocket at that time. So again, waiting doesn't always necessarily mean that things are going to get better. Sure, rates are coming down, but at the same time, the prices could be going up. So if you do the math right, you actually see that, again, sometimes waiting may not be the right choice mm-hmm. for you. But that's why you got to speak to someone like myself to run the numbers, give you different scenarios and different options to empower you to make a decision that's based on numbers and not what you think the market is going to do. Because a lot of people were not expecting rates to be here last year or versa, right? Waiting doesn't always necessarily equal better.
Mm-hmm. True. Absolutely. So what steps can an individual take while waiting to prepare, you know, to buy a home, to improve their chances of securing like a favorable mortgage?
Yeah.
What are some of the steps they can take?
So I think the first thing that, you know, what things that you can do at home, number one, if you're buying it by yourself or a partner, maybe a life partner or maybe like a business partner, first you have to figure out, okay, what is our timeline? Are we looking at buying it right now immediately or are we looking at 6 months to a year? Because that can really determine what sort of strategy that you take. Number two, let's figure out, okay, how much do we have for a down payment, closing costs, and other sort of incidentals that may come up. So once you have your down payment, that will help you determine the cost of the property you're looking for, as well as what sort of closing costs that you need. And then third, to see, does our income qualify for said property in that area? So the first thing you should do is get pre-qualified or have a quick pre-qualification conversation with me. Whenever a new client, especially for some home buyers, whenever they come to me, those are the first three questions I ask, like, what are your goals? How much do you have saved up? What's your timeline? Because if they tell me my timeline is 2 years from now, it's going to change the strategy. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus more on, let's rebuild your credit if we need to. Let's look at your monthly payments right now. Do you have a new car that you're paying for? Do you have other debts? Do you have other secured debts, unsecured debts, visa debt? Those are some of the things that we could do. We look at the credit, obviously, just to see what their monthly payments are going to look like. And we come up with a budget. What can you afford? Can you afford, you're buying this house for like $600,000. Can you afford these monthly payments based on today's rates, right? But if you're buying it 6 months from now or a year from now, it's going to be a little bit different. So we typically look at, okay, what's the most pressing, which is, can you afford it right now, right? And while you're waiting and you're looking for a house, get your pre-qualifications. There are some banks that underwrite your pre-qualification or pre-approval right away. So you know 100%, all you have to do is just verify the property itself. There's other banks that will just do a rate hold for you. So it's always good as well, where you say, okay, if the rate's going any higher, this is where I want to get in. If they get any better, we can maybe slide down. But at least it gives you an idea about your monthly payments, right? A lot of people look at the size of the house or the price of the house. They don't always necessarily look at what are the monthly payments. Can I afford this? You might be, you know, I hate to say it, but Scotiabank, you might be richer than what you think, right? There's a moment where we come up with numbers, and there's different strategies, right? Some people really want a certain house. They want a certain, they have the money to pay for it, but their income may not qualify. So we work with them on, okay, this is what we need to show with this bank or that bank. And we just work with them. I think time, you should always take advantage of time. If you're looking at buying before the summertime, get in touch with me right now. We can look at getting you pre-qualified or at least running some estimated numbers for you to work with. That way, you're not wasting your time from going to houses that you can't afford or you won't get qualified for. You're not wasting your realtor's time like yourself by being able to narrow down the search in certain areas. If you say, hey, I'm looking for a bungalow of like $500,000 in Toronto, I'd be like, that's going to be a hard find, right? Right. If you tell someone else, I'd be like, maybe you should broaden your search criteria. So again, you're kind of helping yourself save some time and heartache and headache. And that way, if rates are going lower, then you can adjust your budget. But at the very least, it gives you an idea about, you know, where you stand right now. And then the third thing is, if you act early enough, if there's any blemishes on your credit bureau, if you're thinking about maybe moving jobs or switching industries or opening up your own company during that time, right? There are certain things that necessarily do get in the way of your application. Not sometimes good, sometimes bad. If you're paying something off, it's really good. But if you're taking on a new car loan, it's going to affect it and bring your score down a little bit. So there's certain things that you can, that comes up in life that you can talk to me about. And I would tell you, you know, what's the best way of going towards that, right? So, you know, usually income changes and liability changes, those are the big factors. So if you're thinking about buying a new car, maybe you should wait till you figure out the house situation before you go ahead and do that, right? So those are the key things that we uncover during our discovery calls. You know, worst case scenario, you come out thinking, okay, my budget wasn't exactly right. Maybe I need to up it or get it lower. But at least there's no surprises in the end where you qualify for a house or you bid for a house. Then you go and you're like, oh, I don't qualify for the mortgage. What do I do? Right? There's not a lot of surprises. So best thing you want to do is act early, especially for first-time home buyers, and do the research, do the qualifications. And again, there's a lot of things that we can help uncover to make it a lot easier for you and smoother towards the end for yourself and your realtor and your family and everyone that's putting time into this endeavor of buying a house and moving.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Like I say, I'm not a tour guide. I'd love to show you all these pretty properties.
And in fact, I actually work with, you know, a couple of realtors where without a pre-qualification, without, you know, someone like me or having talked to a licensed mortgage professional, they say go see them first because your desires are not always going to match what you can actually get, right? Everybody wants champagne, but they want to pay beer prices, right? Yeah. Everybody wants a big mansion and pay as little as possible. Yeah. And hopefully one day that'll be a reality. But right now, it's just best to know what are the parameters, what properties should we, you know, cross out, on what properties can we include. Maybe there's some properties or areas that you haven't thought of, you think you may not qualify, and next thing you know, you qualify. When rates go down, if they go down, you can sometimes refinance and get into a better payment position. But again, always find out where do you stand. Do your pre-qualifications. It won't cost you to call me and say, hey, I want to run some numbers with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a great, you know, someone's asking a question, but we'll hold that for a second. It's definitely, a great, great option for people to, like, I had a live show the other, maybe 2 weeks ago, and one of the things I mentioned, it's always great when you work with a mortgage broker, someone who is willing to take that time with you, someone who's very patient, so that they can work out those numbers for you. They can do all this math for you, help you understand. A lot of times I find that when someone fresh comes to me as a realtor, they don't understand a lot of what these numbers amount to. They just think, hey, I can just afford $1 million, or I can afford this, house, and when you tell them the, you know, approximately what would come to you, without really, you know, freaking them out, right? They get a little, you know, it's almost nice for them to go through the process to have someone who is hand-holding, being patient with them, making them understand, and then working towards achieving their goals as opposed to just, you know, jumping the gun, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, especially when it comes to finance numbers, they can be intimidating to a lot of people, right? Especially for some home buyers, they're making probably one of the, if not the biggest purchase of their life. And they have a lot of questions, they have a lot of concerns. And I've actually worked with a lot of green or newer realtors as well. And I invite them to sit in on those conversations because they have questions themselves, but they don't want to seem like they don't know the answer. They should know the answers because they're the realtor professional. And a lot of times these questions come up for them in their conversations and they just don't know how to answer it. So number one, I'm happy to, you know, help out even the newer realtors to have any questions. But the handholding part is really key. The service part, that was really drilled in me from day one when I was in the bank. Service, service, service. I know we don't see a lot of that lately. You know, not a lot of people think customer service is big. To me, it's still number one. I've had clients where things didn't always work out the way we thought it might, but because of that service level, they came back to me. They trusted me. I was open and honest. Sometimes I'm too honest to a fault. Right. But I'm always honest with a client because I want them to have all the answers and make an informed decision and have options. Right. Yeah. When you're working with somebody who has access to so many different lenders and so many different types of products, you can offer your clients just options. Right. If you walk into your bank, you have to fit in within that box. And sometimes your banker or the person that you end up dealing with may not necessarily know your situation. They may not know a lot of things. All they know is the bank pays me to sit here, service your client. And if you don't fit in, tough luck. I'm going to go move on to the next client and try to see if I can get a sale out of them. For me, it's different. The only way that I'm happy is if my clients are happy, my realtors are happy, because the money part brings everything together. The mortgage brings it together. And when your hands are not tied to just one product or one lender, you can have different options and allow them to make a more informed decisions as to what's best for them. Obviously, I have my input and I lay it out there and I say, okay, I like this and I don't like this, certain things, but I give the client more information sometimes than they can understand or need, just so that they're comfortable with the decision they made and so that they're not intimidated by these, all the figures and different things they hear, especially in the news. The news right now, it's all doom and gloom, and that's how they sell the news, right? And it's good for a soundbite, but it may not necessarily pertain to you. The best way you could do that is take a minute, talk to someone, call me. I'm more than happy to take your calls, evenings, weekends, whatever works for you, just to answer some questions and make you comfortable, right?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the stuff that goes on, whether it's the news or on social, you know, it's a lot of clickbait stuff. Like, you know, they have these headlines that they want people to click on, right?
Yeah.
And people don't really read anymore, right? So if it's not sent to them in like 2 seconds, they read this headline and then they'll be like, oh my God, this is happening, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to, hold on a second, let's dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to what you said earlier about, you know, making sure whatever you do is the right choice for you and nothing else, right? I have a whole bunch of questions, and I know we're ticking on the time. So someone's asking variable or fixed. And I don't know if you want to keep that to the end or you want to address it now.
I can address it now because that's a lot of people are asking variable or fixed. And that's more of a loaded question because it really depends on you, the property itself. Is it rental? Is it fixed? Is it not? So it's really specifically per each client. What are their goals? Can you afford, you know, if the rates go up a little bit higher, not that we're expecting it to, but if it goes higher or lower, are you comfortable with that? Or do you stress out every time there's a rate announcement like there will be on Wednesday? Is fixed better for you? Are you on fixed income? Is there a year maybe where you don't have an income? So there's a lot of different variables for every client. If you were to ask me for myself personally, for my owner-occupied property, what would I do? I like the flexibility that a variable rate offers. And I say for a couple of reasons. One, it allows me to have the flexibility if I want to sell it, change it, refinance, do whatever, to pay less in penalties if they apply. And number two, I like having the discount that's guaranteed for the term. Most banks offer that. As well as if rates do go down over the next couple of years, then I ride down with it. So I have the risk tolerance to be able to go up and down. It really depends on the individual itself. But what I can tell you is the banks that know that are offering, the banks that obviously are really pushing their 3-year fixed rates right now, they're offering some of the best fixed rates based on that, because they're anticipating that over the next 3 years, rates are going to be lower and variable is going to go down below fixed. That's the anticipation. But again, it really depends on your risk tolerance. If you're a first-time home buyer, you want to set your payments, not to worry about it, then I would say recommend going fixed for 3 years. But it really depends on the individual, the property, your life goals as a whole, right? If you want to move in the next 2 to 3 years, maybe fix them for you. Right. So it really depends on the individual. Again, call me. We'll discuss the each individual requirement that you have. And it depends. You know, some people like variable no matter what. Some people like fixed no matter what. It just depends on your preference as well. Yeah. You okay?
Sorry. Yes. Someone's trying to call me.
More questions coming in?
Sorry about that. Yeah, so it depends. And so the person who asked that question, I would suggest, you know, book a call. It's free. There's no charge. Book a call and then, you know, chat about your situation, right? I mean, it really depends. There's so many factors and, you know, not all mortgages are created equal. So
No, there isn't.
Based on what your situation is, what you have appetite for, what you want to do, the product will vary.
Yeah.
You know, and so just make sure you make the right decision. So give them a call when you have a minute there.
Yeah.
I
have to say, some of these rates aren't actually set in stone. Again, the more savvier people in the industry, they always realize that, hey, rates can change all the time. You're not really hooked on a rate. You can always refinance and, you know, Given your mortgage product currently allows you to do that. So there are some changes, but like focus on the property. What does the problem, like you want that property? Don't focus on the rate. Focus on, okay, I'm saving some property because property values are typically in some areas lower. I want to buy the house at a better price for it. And then maybe later on I can refinance the rate and go to a better rate if markets change, right? There's that old saying, you marry the house, but you only date the rate. That couldn't be more true lately because, again, you see some good deals in the market. There's a lot of people that are looking to get rid of some properties. Again, whatever reason, it might be affordability, it might be different things. So it's a good opportunity for you to find that house that you had your eye on for a little bit less money. Sure, rates are a little bit higher as long as you can qualify for the mortgage and be able to pay those monthly payments. Focus on the payment side, not necessarily always the rates, because the rates can change in 6 months, a year, 2 years, you don't know, right? So again, that's one of the reasons why I like being variable, because I like that flexibility. But again, it's different for everybody. You're absolutely right. Not one mortgage product or rate fits the people. Everyone's a little bit different. You have to sort of act accordingly or what's best for you and your goals for the future.
Yeah. So important. So important to take advantage of the services, right? I mean, customer service and giving you this free time to really kind of work you through is priceless, really. I want to jump into a few most important questions. I know before we kind of wrap up, we can do maybe another session and go into some more, because I have so many questions. I'm just giving you a bunch of them. Yeah, so with upcoming mortgage renewals, and I know everyone's like waiting with bated breath for this piece, especially, you know, people that are enjoying like a 2% or lower, you know, what strategies would you recommend for maximizing the renewal process, like for these individuals?
So this is a hot topic right now, right? There is almost $600 million in mortgages that are coming off a renewal over the next 2 years. And about 1.2 million households that are going to be renewing in 2024. It's a hot topic. What I'm hearing in the market, and again, from clients and other like-minded individuals in our industry, is that the banks are aggressively going after clients to early renew. They're sending out letters 5-6 months to go to your renewal date, giving you rates and telling you, hey, there's a deadline on this offer, or if you don't sign it by this day, we're not going to renew and all that jazz. That's absolutely incorrect. You have until your closing date to actually, or your renewal date until renew. So you don't want to early renew with your bank. What you want to do is get in touch with someone like myself early enough, within 120 to 90 days, between 3 to 4 months in advance, and have a discussion. In those renewal call discussions, I do some discovery calls, just like how I would with a first-time home buyer. Hey, do you have any savings for a lump sum payment right now? Right, because that can, again, that might help you stay with the same bank, just get a better payment on a monthly basis. Or what does your renewal look like? There are some lenders, the minute someone like myself gets involved with the renewal, they automatically offer a better rate because they know there is a potential for my third strategy, which is, okay, let's look at potentially refinancing this property with a different lender, right, to see how feasible it is, how much lower can your payments get if you re-amortize over 25 or 30 years, whatever, it may make sense, and can those payment terms better suit your lifestyle and your life needs right now, okay? So there's certain things you can do, again, planning ahead, but what you don't want to do is early renew. You want to wait because the market is still trending downwards. I know the inflation numbers last week weren't too good, but I don't see Bank of Canada raising rates anytime if they don't lower it early enough. Again, a lot can happen in the market, but as it stands right now, they're probably going to keep it around the 5% overnight rate, which means a prime for most banks are going to be around 7.2%. And then obviously the 2, 3, and 5 year fixed rates are going to be within the mid 5 to 6% range. So you don't want to really early renew right now. You want to keep an eye on it or have someone like myself, because again, I keep an eye on every bank's rates over the daily updates that we get. And what you want to do is sort of keep an eye on it. If you come close to your renewal date, you can look at those three options, whether if you want to stay with the same, can they offer you a better rate, or have their rates already gone down, because banks do change their rates, especially in the fixed side, or their discounts. Again, they don't wait for Bank of Canada. They look at bond yields or other things when they're making decisions, especially on their fixed rate products. And we've seen a downward trend thus far. Even, you know, just today, we got some couple of emails from some lenders that have already reduced some of their fixed rates even further. So you can look at that. And then you can, you know, plan ahead. Does it make sense to make a change or not? Again, options, right? And someone like myself, I can give you those options for you to make that decision. But what you don't want to do is allow your current lender to twist your arm into an early renewal, okay? It's something that's a tactic that they're doing, especially right now. They're sending out letters with expiry dates saying, hey, you got to take advantage of this right now. Worst case that happens is that the bank just renews you, and they renew you at a rate at that time. So you can always wait. Again, every bank is a little bit different. They have different policies for renewal. But someone like myself, we know some of these renewal policies. So we work with our clients, just like how I work with a brand new mortgagee, in order to help them get the best term and rate for their current situation, right? Because situations could have changed. When you've got your mortgage 5 or 3 years ago, might have been different. You might have a different job, might be more money, less money, family changes, you have a child right now, you want to move in a year, like what are some of the options, right? What if they're only offering you like a 5 year fixed rate, but you want to move in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So there's things that have changed. Again, having that discovery call, couple of minutes can help save you a lot of money and headache down the line.
Perfect. Yeah, so give him a call. There you go.
Give me a call.
I want to ask you one last question before we wrap up. I mean, you have a chance to circle back, but let me ask you this question. You know, we mentioned a couple of times about first-time home buyers, right? And I want to talk about this because, you know, selfishly, while I service a lot, you know, I have a great deal of first-time home buyers and a lot of retirees, right? And they're the niche that actually has the most handholding. But because I have such a great customer service-based business, you know, I think it's important for me to ask you at least one question based on that. Yeah. So what key tips can you give for some home buyer entering into the real estate market, especially in the current economic climate?
First thing is, don't get intimidated from what you hear again in the news, right? You need a house, you need to live. And if you've been saving for a house, there's options out there. As I said, be flexible. So don't say, I want this house in this area, right? When you come in, say, I want this, but I'm willing to accept B, C, and D as an offer. Start saving money. Try to cut back your frivolous spending. Don't buy a new car or, you know, get a secured line of credit that's attached to something else. Don't go on someone else's property, for example. If your parents need help, if you go on there, then you're no longer a first-time home buyer. There's certain things that can affect your application. First of all, don't make changes to your income. So whether it's a job, if you want to get a better job in the same industry, it's okay. But again, talk to me, because there's certain things are good. Certain things may cause a wrinkle in your application. Certain changes that you're thinking about, I say sort of put a pin in them. Don't make it right away. And don't pull your credit bureau too often, but have a look at it every like once a year or twice a year at max. One, you want to look, make sure that there's nothing showing on there that you don't recognize. If there's a credit facility, make all your payments on time. At the very minimum, make your minimum payments for your facilities and try to reduce your overall usage of your credit. So a lot of people think that just because you make monthly minimums, that your credit score is protected. That's true, but if you have overutilization over a long period of time, so if most of your facilities are 75 to 100% or like maxed out and you're doing it for a long time, over time, that can also affect your credit score. So look at your credit score, because that's one criteria that a lot of lenders look at to figure out, okay, where do you land? Are you like a 800 or are you a 590 FICO scorecard, right? So those are the main ones. Credit, income, and your monthly liabilities. Those three things really play the largest role when it comes to your what they call debt servicing ratios, what banks look at. And that can determine whether you're going to go with a bank, like an A lender, or maybe a B lender. Yeah.
Those are good tips. Yeah. I would say one of the tips I want to add is if you're a first-time home buyer, open up a first home savings account.
First home savings.
Most places.
Absolutely. Yeah. Places that's brand new.
If you don't plan to buy a home today, you can hold that money in there for 15 years.
15 years. Absolutely.
It's tax free. It helps you build, it just helps you work on that. You know, even if you're putting away a little bit every month and, you know, if you need some tips, you know, give us a call. We're happy to help you with
absolutely
some of these challenges. Yeah. In addition, you know, you can also use your RRSP as well as a down payment.
First home buyer's plan.
$35,000 each person. The first home savings account is $40,000. So if Nona wants to give you a loan or your grandmother, grandfather, whatever you want to call them, they can add it to that account too. And help
absolutely
you build, right? And it just helps you save for when you're ready to get in and all of, you know, whatever there's limits on those amounts, you know, there's 40,000 max, 8,000 a year for some, but it helps you kind of get into it. I have a bunch of questions, so I'm going to have to have you back on the show now because
absolutely. I'm happy to come back. I'm sure there's a lot of questions. I know a lot of people, again, I'm happy to take calls and phone calls. Everybody can follow me. I usually do put out, you know, important information that comes out and can help with answer any questions, but I'm happy to jump on. I love talking. So anytime you want to have me on.
He does answer the phone. You know, if you call him, he doesn't just send it. He doesn't call you back. He does answer the phone, which is great. It doesn't even matter.
I love hearing from people. I've had clients that I've known for years. They call me out of the blue without any, they just want to chit chat and say hi. And I'm a busy guy, but I take everybody's phone calls. So I'm happy to have any questions. Don't think, oh, you're bothering me. This is what I do. My job is to help you. And if you become my client, based on that, I'm more than happy. But as long as you get the information right, I'm always happy to be a resource for anyone that needs help.
Perfect. So before we wrap up, you know, is there anything else you want to add?
I'm happy to come back on, like I said. The only thing is like, don't, again, my thing lately has been all the gloom and doom that I hear in the news. It's not as bad as you think. There's still tons of activity in the market. We're back in the multi offer era where you see, you know, multiple offers on a property. Of, you know, any realtors you talk to, they, if they've had showings lately, there are people that are coming back out. That there's a general good sense in the market that things are happening again. So just don't wait till you actually see a change. You know, take advantage of this time and call me. Let's figure out a plan for you to how to buy your home, your first home or your next home, whatever it may be. You're closer than you think.
Or your renewal. Either way, how can they reach you?
Well, you can reach me best through my phone number, 416-399-1993. You can always message me through @mortgage.manny on Instagram, TikTok, and soon coming on Facebook. Or you can email me at manny@northpowermortgages.ca. North Power Mortgages, Inc. is my brokerage, run by our fearless leader, Michael Neal and Amir Parsa, but it's manny@northpowermortgages.ca.
There you go. You heard from him. That's how you can reach him. And if you missed all of that, you can catch the replay and get his number again. And
absolutely.
For those of you who are, for those of you watching, my name is Jacqueline Watson, and I'm a realtor with Sutton Group in Toronto. I do the show Monday evenings at 6. And if there's a topic you'd like me to unpack further, I'm happy to do that. Just send me a DM. Let me know what it is you're interested in hearing more about. And we'll do a show for you. And we'll bring a professional to help give you the answers for whatever you're seeking. Either way, it's always nice when you spend your time with us on the show. We appreciate your time so, so much. And so come back next week and listen in. And I'm going to have Manny back on the show. So pay attention to the post, because you'll see me post about him returning. And Manny, thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
And
thank you.
Yeah. And up until next time, I guess.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacqueline.
Someone says, I appreciate thank you so much for your time. One of our
thank you. Guests. Thank you, Jacqueline, for having me. You always have such good info, especially your motivational stuff that always helps me. I'm happy you were able to get away a little bit and have a good trip as well. So good to have you back.
Yeah, it's always like, timing the market. Like I said, timing the market's impossible, even when you decide to take vacation, right? Because I say, you know, timing the market doesn't always work. And I can tell you, whenever I'm on a trip, people seem to want to sell or buy. Or I don't know. It's like they think I'm having too much fun on this trip. And so
When you're always working like me, my phone is always on. So I consider myself always working at nighttime or evening. I don't know what it is in the universe, but every time I go away or I'm on a vacation trip, I tend to get some crazy deals. So I'm looking forward to the next trip I go to, see what lands on my lap. It's just the way the universe works sometimes.
Yes, that's the way it works. And it's all good. I do my best to try and be positive, no matter how gloomy it can get out there. I mean, listen, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You just have to make the best of it.
Of course.
And And if you're looking for a home, then, you know, you need to come see us. So we'll get you into a house.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time.
Thank you. See you. Cheers.